Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. The city schools in Baltimore, where I live, have gone through their share of trouble. At various times, they've been taken over by a for-profit business, threatened with takeover by the state of Maryland, and closed down entirely and absorbed by other schools. Parents who want to live in the city and can afford to send their children to private schools do so. Thousands of others have simply fled to the suburbs. But many parents are still here, still sending their kids to public school, and still involved with their education. Now there's another obstacle, standardized testing, and the threat that if students don't pass these tests, federal funding to their schools will be cut. So teachers are now, as they put it, teaching to the test instead of teaching the way they think makes the most sense for their students. And there's still no guarantee it'll work. In today's program, producer Katie Gott visits two schools that are worried about failing the standardized tests, one in Baltimore and one in Northern Virginia. The program is called The High Stakes of Today's Testing.
Okay. Before we get started, we're going to do a little multiplication warm-up.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's go. 2 times 7.
14.
4 times 5. 20. 3 times 3. 9. 2 times 4. 8.
Welcome to Montebello Elementary School in Baltimore, Maryland.
Now, this morning, I changed it around a little bit.
5 times 2 equals 10. 1 times 3 equals 3.
And Thurgood Marshall Elementary School in Chesapeake, Virginia.
0 times 5 equals 0.
On the surface, these schools have a lot in common. Montebello principal, Sarah Horsey.
We have about 85 to 87% of our children are on free or reduced lunch. We're located in an area where there is a high crime rate in the neighboring blocks of this school.
Thurgood Marshall principal, Dr. Linda Woolard.
We're about 90% free and reduced lunch, about the same percentage of minority students. This area is in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake. We have a great deal of low-income rental housing.
And both schools are failing state tests. At Montebello, few students could pass the reading tests.
We had maybe about 20-25% proficient in reading.
Thurgood Marshall students are failing in science.
Only 9 passed the science test. Only 9 out of that, 80-some kids passed the test, and that really hit home.
These schools have been failing for so long that the state departments of education stepped in. Maryland State Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Nancy Grasmick.
And for the lowest performing schools, we decided the state really had to do something, that it was our obligation to the children who attended those schools.
New federal guidelines have put an urgency on passing these tests, and eventually all students at all schools must pass the test.
Everyone has to be there by 2013-2014. It is one standard for the entire state. And that means that if you have an existing low-performing school, that school still has to meet that standard.
States have different ways of dealing with low-performing schools. They can shut down the school, they can give them additional resources, or they can take money out of the school. In the case of Montebello Elementary in Maryland, they can hand the school over to a private for-profit company, Edison.
Everyone is in line. Montebello, walk. Ms. Gaines, class, you may enter the Montebello Cafe. Excellent. You may take your seats.
This is our cafeteria. This is where we eat lunch. They call it the cafe.
Montebello is one of only 3 schools in the state to have been given over to the Edison Corporation. All 3 schools are in Baltimore City. When Edison took over, they started new staff, new curriculum, and new principal. The first challenge they had to tackle was student behavior. Third grade teacher, Ms. Jacqueline Gaines.
We came into the school, the parents said the biggest concern was that children's behavior. They were running the school. So they actually, we sat down, we mapped out everything. Everyone had the same classroom rules so that everybody was doing the same thing. Everybody was talking the same talk. The janitorial staff, if they saw children, you should be doing this. The children didn't have a chance.
I need to see a Montebello line now. Someone left their lunch bag on the table, on the counter. Put that here, Carrie, just like this. 3, 4, 5. Stop at the water fountain, please. Hands are behind your back.
The discipline is one element in the Edison philosophy. Another is having strong leaders. Principal Sarah Horsey was renowned throughout Baltimore City for turning around schools.
Give us the students, and we will improve. We will show improvement in those areas that the state asks to show improvement, and that is academics as well as attendance.
Montebello's kids were failing in reading and math, so Edison was brought in to address those two areas. In fact, one of their hallmarks is a regimented reading curriculum called Success for All, or SFA.
Sharon opened her eyes real wide. You know what? The secret recipe for freckle juice.
SFA is taught every single day. SFA, 90 minutes. No interruption, every day, 90 minutes.
Every morning we do SFA, which means social. I forgot what the rest means. But SFA helps us get ready for reading tests.
And testing is another hallmark of the Edison curriculum. This week, they're reviewing skills that will be tested on the upcoming Maryland State Assessment Test, the MSA.
Who can tell me what are context clues? Who remembers what context clues are?
Context clues is when you don't are when you don't know a word, but once you look around them and you see those words, they will give you a hint what that word means.
Say it again. Listen to Jasmine, please.
We were working on basically reviewing multiple meaning words, context clues. Basically, I'm providing the children with the information, teaching them how to think, so they have the basis there. They understand what to do.
Jasmine wants me to say I got my answer by what, Jasmine?
I got my answer by looking at the words surrounding black striped bass. The words that were surrounding black striped bass are lobster, shrimp, crabs, and flounder. And all of them appear to be seafood and seafood plants, seafood animals. So
I don't have all that space, Jasmine. Remember we talked about condensing answers? Okay, so what can I say and still use the three lines? Remember when we took the MSA, we only had what? How many lines?
Five.
Okay.
Jasmine is finding out that sometimes knowing the right answer is not enough on the test.
Five lines. I know you want 15. You have the right answer. Well, what should I do?
Well, you can shorten it by just putting in the main information.
Help me.
I got my answer by looking at shrimp, crabs, flounder, and lobster. Those are the context clue words, and they all appear to be...
Still too long.
Also, I don't know if you actually know this, but they had to explain everything that they were doing. That's part of the MSA. Even in reading, you need to explain why you made that decision.
Making inference or what?
Conclusions.
The new reading curriculum is also supported by daily meetings of all the third grade teachers. These are called house meetings, and teachers meet to discuss how the students are doing in reading, in particular, how they are doing on reading benchmark tests given every month.
Doctor, I think this is the first time that on a benchmark this year that we've had this long of a passage, and they were just stopping.
And both of them were that long.
Yeah, both of them.
Today, the teachers are surprised.
They didn't do well on that at all. Even the children that should have done well got really confused with it, and I think it's because they're not used to reading passages with all that conversation in it.
Sometimes, even the teachers don't know exactly what will be on the test.
See, my thing is, if they're going to test them on stuff like this, then the SFA books should be books that include, you know, say for third grade, more conversation, because those books...
The teachers also struggle to help their third graders with higher level thinking skills.
How do you teach a child to critically think? But when you take a test, I can't go, honey, does that make sense? So how do you teach them to go and just examine their own thinking?
Isn't critically thinking a maturity thing also. Maybe third grade and 8 and 7, 7, 8 and going on 9 is maybe it's too early. But you
know it's the week before a major state test, and the teachers are using these ongoing reading assessments to pinpoint where the students need the most help. Principal Sarah Horsey.
Teachers will say when they have their meetings, I had a group of children that didn't do well, for example, in inferencing. Well, now then the teacher will take that particular that knowledge, will go and select materials that will either teach or reinforce that particular skill.
Montebello is in what they call test mode, and that's pretty clear walking around the hallways. Outside every classroom is a huge banner. It lists the test scores of each teacher's class, starting from the year Edison first took over.
The children know, and the teachers need to know, how we are making progress. It's like a celebration.
Each banner has 2 years of test scores and what the expectations are for this year.
It's constantly in front of the children, and it's constantly in front of them as a reminder.
The entire school is gearing up for next week's tests. And Principal Horsey is making sure that every grade knows it's part of the team. Even the first graders have written a song.
Very good. How many of you going to do well in the CTBF? How many going to burn that CTBF? You want to step on it and you want to burn.
5, 6, 7, 8, clap.
And the pep rally continues throughout the day. All the classes are practicing for the tests.
Tomorrow is school spirit day.
Head coach Horsey rallies the entire team over the school's intercom.
So tomorrow, boys and girls, you may wear your jeans. Oh, you mean no one is saying anything?
The state tests mean a lot more than the benchmark tests these students take every month.
But we're gonna burn it. They're going to know we're going to put our school way up on the map. We're going to let them know that we're going out in flying colors. How about that, boys and girls? Are we going to burn the test?
These state tests are called high stakes for a reason. Everyone from the federal government to the State Department of Ed to the parents look to these test scores to see how well the students are learning.
We want them to know that, yes, at Montebello, we are number one, and we're just as smart as the children in Frederick County, the children in Howard County, the children at Montgomery County. We're just as smart, and we are smarter.
And as on any other big game day, the players can sense how much is riding on the tests.
I feel nervous because sometimes you might get the wrong answers. Also, you get butterflies in your stomach.
So tomorrow's your day to get ready for the big day.
And the big day is only 4 days away. But Principal Horsey and her team will have to wait months to find out if Montebello Elementary in Baltimore passed their reading tests. While you can find this emphasis on testing throughout the country, some worry about the impact it's having on students. Jay McTighe has made a career studying assessment and student learning. He's helped to design several standardized tests, including one used in Maryland.
Ideally, we would use assessments to measure student learning in order to get feedback on how to improve learning. But the stakes of the test, the pressures to perform and get the scores up, has really overtaken its larger intent so that people fixate on raising the scores, and the pressures start at the state ed department or with a legislature, run through the superintendent who pressures the principals to get the scores up, who pressures the teachers to get the scores up, and that pressure comes down to the students.
And why do you guys think you take these big tests? Do you know why?
I think we take the test to show all those other schools how smart we are, so we can show that we're better than them.
Many students will report that the reason they're taking the test is to get the scores up for their class or their school. Very few people mention learning in the equation.
Edison's formula for success is to raise test scores and score more state contracts. They do that with private management, a whole new staff, and a brand new curriculum. In the state of Virginia, the strategy is different. Thurgood Marshall is an elementary school in Southern Virginia. It was also failing, and so the state became directly involved in managing the school, with the same curriculum and the same staff. Whereas Montebello had a team atmosphere, at Thurgood Marshall, the teachers' expectations were all over the board.
Culturally, in this building, there were many different beliefs among teachers about the children, about what they're capable of learning. So one of the things that they recommended is to bring in an expert on working with children in poverty and how to work with them and how to counteract some of the things they walk in here with.
Even though Thurgood Marshall students tested poorly in most subject areas, the state plan only focused on science because that's where the students were failing. The school got a brand new science lab, and the teachers get ongoing science training.
And this is induction. This is becoming a magnet because of being induced.
You having fun, Jeremy?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's north. Mm-hmm.
The north repels.
See? The north attracts it.
The north repels it because you want it on the red.
I know. The red is on the north.
Right, but when you put north on it, it repels it. You have south on it now. Watch.
Virginia tests students on what they call standards of learning, or SOLs. Every course in every grade has its own standards of learning.
And right now what we're doing are reviewing units that we're going to be working with the students to review them for SOLs. This is a unit about magnets, and right now we're doing an experiment, what will magnets attract.
Okay. There are three little stations set up for this unit.
Today, as the school year nears its end, teachers are reviewing skills for the upcoming state SOL test.
I've already given you all the released items from the SOL test. Okay. What we're going to do is go back and look at those and see on those released questions which ones the students are missing, which ones they know very well. The magnetism is a very low concept. They're not scoring high in this category. So I'm thinking it's because they haven't had that hands-on.
Hands-on science projects get students involved in the science instead of just memorizing facts. Thurgood Marshall has students participating in a number of these projects. Today, they are working on their critter projects.
We're working on animals, and we're working on an Arctic fox that can camouflage with snow because it's white.
Michael has selected a peacock for his critter project.
I'll log in. Because I think it'll help if you could see the tail of a peacock. Okay, and after I log in, have you and I ever done this together?
No.
Do you use your computer at home? Are you allowed to do this?
I don't have a computer.
Okay, good. This is a good time for me to teach you how to do this. Okay, this is called a website. Okay.
Beyond science, reading, and math, Thurgood Marshall identified another issue for its students. That is, many come without the background knowledge that would help them in the classroom. Miss Elliott has pulled Michael over to a computer for two reasons, to show him what a peacock looks like and to introduce him to research on the internet.
See that line that says search? Type in peacock.
P-E-A-K.
P-E-A-C. O-C-K. Oh, let's look. Michael, use the mouse and pull this bar down. And let's just see what it gave me.
With these types of projects, it's difficult to see how much a student is learning with just a test. So teachers often use what's called a rubric. It's a guideline that explains to the student how a project will be graded.
I gave you a copy of the rubric that is showing what I expect to see in your critter project. Make sure you follow my guidelines and make sure that you follow the rubric. Okay, going to get started.
This is just one alternative to see how much students know. Educational consultant Jay McTighe points to a wide variety of other measurements.
We could also see evidence of student learning through products and performances. For example, writing products, doing a science lab and talking about the results, conducting a research investigation and giving an oral report on one's findings all constitute other measures of achievement. The ones just mentioned are less likely to be on standardized tests because they're difficult to manage and they're difficult to standardize. However, they are certainly legitimate forms of assessment, and I would argue the most authentic evidence of student performance, more so than a single snapshot multiple choice test.
Yet Thurgood Marshall knows that it's these multiple choice state tests that count. Third grade teacher, Miss Linda Elliott.
One thing that I am focusing a little more on is looking at the language of the SOLs and trying to present it in a way that that will prepare the child for hearing things in a way that's tested.
This is what I want to know. Now we know we know the names of those, you can define them. When would you ever use that information?
On the SOL test?
On the SOL test. You certainly will use it on the SOL test. How about in your everyday life?
Right now, the state is only giving extra help to Thurgood Marshall in science. However, the students are just barely passing reading tests.
What we're expected to meet as far as the pass rate goes up. As it goes up, we're always trying to keep our bottom up. And I really fear that this year we may be in some more trouble.
And that fear about test scores extends after school, where more than 100 students are receiving reading remediation.
SOL remediation, students,
please report to the gym at this time. Before the SOL people leave, let me say something to you. Don't forget to study your spelling.
We are here to help the school get the SOL stuff up, scores up, so people won't say that this is a bad school, and so they will bring their children here.
Thurgood Marshall is getting ready to take the state tests, and so the extracurricular activity for these students is to practice for their SOLs.
We do this so we can get extra help, so we can get ready for the SOL test, and it's not just because we need help on the SOL test, it's about our school being important. And then people really recognize our school so they can think it good.
If Thurgood Marshall scores don't improve and continue to improve, the state will no longer give it a seal of approval.
Once that happens, the parents in that school are given the option for their kids to attend other schools at the city's expense, to move them by bus. Not to other cities, but to other schools within the city. So I think that's the next step, and we certainly don't want that to happen. So that's why it's really important.
And what will happen to Montebello, the school in Baltimore that is run by the private company Edison? For Edison, a failing grade could mean losing the contract to run the school. There's a lot riding on these tests. But both schools have to wait 3 or 4 months to get their scores. So in the springtime, the students geared up for the big day, but they won't find out if they won or lost until the fall. Educational consultant Jay McTighe.
If we had the equivalent of standardized tests for sports, we would shoot a basket, but not know whether the ball went in for 3 weeks or 3 months. And we wouldn't be able to play the game. We would simply be tested on discrete, decontextualized skills. Most young athletes wouldn't stay on the team if that's all we did. We're shooting for a larger performance.
Now, it's 6 months later, and we finally can find out the test results. First, let's go to Thurgood Marshall. Remember, they were failing in science and were worried about reading scores. Well, they barely passed science, and they're still worried about reading. Principal Dr. Linda Woolard.
The reading scores actually went down, and that was a concern. We really don't know the reasons for that. I think it may have had to do with teacher ability. And be real honest with you, of the teachers that I had in third grade, only one is returning. All the rest are new.
These new teachers are coming on board as a team. That's a new strategy for Thurgood Marshall. Up in Baltimore, Team Montebello was failing in reading. Well, they barely passed reading. And whereas Thurgood is forming a new team, the Montebello team is breaking up. Coach Horsey is no longer the principal. And third grade teacher Miss Gaines is no longer a classroom teacher.
There are promotions to be had. Principals do come and go, unlike a city program where the principals just stay forever and there's a great pool of them. It's not the case with Edison schools. And they do, for the most part, promote from within.
And so, in this tale of two schools, the test results show they're just barely making the grade. Even though their approaches are very different, and even though they both emphasize testing. It's possible that a single test, given at the end of the school year, really doesn't tell us much. It's just a snapshot. In fact, educational consultant Jay McTighe thinks we should be looking at a whole photo album.
If you play out that analogy, in the same way that looking at a candid photograph doesn't give you a full portrayal of an individual. However, when you look at a photo album of pictures taken over time, some of which with close-up lenses, some of which are wide angle, you get a much more complete and accurate portrayal. So if you think about assessment, a good assessment as photo album, not snapshot, it suggests one principle that we're going to look at multiple pictures over time to really have a better sense of student learning and achievement, not just a single photo.
And so we're back to where we started. All students have to keep improving and not just barely pass. And they're going to have to keep improving in all subjects. So the goal is the same. How we get there is still unclear.
Ready? 5, 6, 7, 8, clap.
The High Stakes of Today's Testing was produced by Katie Gott with field recordings by Matt McCleskey. The audio engineer was Jared Weisbrot. This program originally aired as part of our series on technology and education with support from the U.S. Department of Education. We have lots more programs in that series, by the way, and you can listen to them all again on our website, soundprint.org. And we have this update. The Thurgood Marshall School in Virginia is now fully accredited with drastic improvements in science and English test scores. After the initial rise, test scores at the Edison-run Montebello School in Baltimore have leveled off, only slightly above the Baltimore City Public Schools average. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. Let us know how we're doing. We appreciate your comments. You can get in touch with us by email at talkback@soundprint.org. Soundprint episodes are available on CD for a small fee. Give us a call at 1-888-38-TAPES and we'll send you your favorite episodes. That number again is 1-888-38-TAPES, or you can order online at soundprint.org. Soundprint is production assistant Nkechi Mogekwu and audio engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Lisa Simeone.